Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
It's time for our state news roundup with WPR's news director, Michael Leland.
Michael, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So one of the big pieces of news, an ongoing story, Wisconsin's voter ID laws, like a lot of legislation in this state, it's ended up in the courts.
Yes, this is the subject of a couple of lawsuits, and eventually it'll be heard in state court. But earlier this week, a federal trial got underway. This involves two federal lawsuits that were filed on behalf of dozens of individuals by several organizations, including Milwaukee Area Labor Council and the American Civil Liberties Union. Now, one of them was on behalf of an elderly woman who was born in rural Tennessee. Her name is Betty Jones. She never got a birth certificate. She had difficulty voting in Wisconsin because she also didn't have a driver's license. And her daughter testified this week that she spent months dealing with Wisconsin officials to get her mother the ID she needed. And that's just one example that's being cited as to how requiring an ID makes it more difficult for some people to vote.
So the burden, they're saying, is too great. It's keeping people from voting, and that's why there's this legal challenge to the law.
Exactly. And they're saying this falls particularly heavy on minorities and low-income people who are less likely to have a state driver's license or ID than the general population.
And supporters, though, still in favor of the law. What's the argument that they're going with?
Yeah, they say it'll prevent voter fraud by making people prove who that they are who they say they are before casting a ballot, just like you would if you were going to rent a car, or if you still rent DVDs, you have to prove who you say mm-hmm. you are for that sort of thing, too. So that's the same argument.
And I think I heard a report from Wisconsin Public Radio that the bigwig in Wisconsin's Government Accountability Board was in one of these trials.
Right. Chuck Wernbach reported that yesterday the head of the Government Accountability Board, Kevin Kennedy, testified that he had recommended that lawmakers help people avoid some of these difficulties in getting birth certificates or other documents in order to get the state driver's licenses or ID cards they need to vote. Kennedy said that he advised allowing people to sign an affidavit that confirms their identity and would allow them to vote. That's something other states that have voter ID allowed, but it's not in the Wisconsin law. He also says, by the way, that the legislature didn't give the Government Accountability Board nearly enough money to help publicize the new voter ID law.
And do you have a sense of how long these trials are going to be running?
Yeah, they said it's going to be a two-week trial, so by this point we're about halfway through it, and it's expected to wrap up sometime later next week.
And these are things that can always be appealed at a higher level.
Absolutely.
So we'll be talking about this one maybe for weeks to come.
Yes.
Another big issue coming up, I think, next week, abortion in the state legislature.
Right. Actually, a little bit of a change today. This was something that was supposed to happen, and now looks like it might not. Now, these are two bills that were up for a vote next week regarding abortion. One would ban abortions based on the sex of the fetus. The other would prevent public employees' health plans from covering most abortions and would limit the ability of employees who work for religious organizations to get contraception through their insurance plans. Now, they could get contraceptives if they're being prescribed for reasons other than preventing a pregnancy. The Assembly added that provision last summer. Now, what's changed is those bills were passed by a Senate committee this week. They were scheduled for debate and a vote on Tuesday. Today, we found out that the agenda for Tuesday does not include those bills. A spokesman for the Senate Republican leader, Scott Fitzgerald, says the GOP wants to end this year on a non-controversial note, and the items may come up next year. Tuesday, of course, is the last day of the legislative session.
And this would have been a controversial note preemptively, right? Some Democrats were saying, whoa, hold off on this.
Yes, even more than that, Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach was very much in opposition of both bills. He said there had never been a public hearing on that provision. The Assembly added that said that people, you know, could get prescriptions if they were being prescribed for reasons other than preventing a pregnancy. He said there should have been a public hearing on that. He was promising what he was calling all-out hell on Tuesday if the Senate tried to debate and then vote on these bills. Republicans had said that there's a precedent for not holding a public hearing on the amendments, that they didn't need one, and now it looks like all those may be pushed into next year anyway.
You mentioned not wanting to end the session on a controversial note. There's not much session left.
Right. Tuesday is the last scheduled day of the session.
Okay. So that would have been a controversial note to go
right.
out on.
Right.
Well, another one that's got a lot of attention passed this mascot bill, the high school or the school mascots bill.
Right. These are now, we're moving into the segment of our discussion where we talk about things we're waiting to happen. Mm-hmm. So earlier this week, the state Senate passed a bill that would have made it more difficult for school districts to change Native American-themed mascots or logos. Now, under the current law, any resident in a district can file a complaint with the state's Department of Public Instruction if they feel that the local mascot or nickname promotes discrimination. The state superintendent's office could then order it to be changed. The new law would require somebody who wants to file a complaint like that to also turn in signatures that are equal to 10% of the student population in that district. And, of course, a district could be exempt from the complaint if a tribe said, yeah, we approve of that nickname, the logo, or the mascot.
And the people who sponsored this bill, their argument was the threshold's too low. We need to see more signs from the community that there's a problem with this. Is that right?
Exactly. One of the supporters is saying that under the current law, a school district is almost looked upon as being guilty just because it has a Native American mascot or logo. They said this levels the playing field, gives them an opportunity to defend the complaint, and gives local tribes an opportunity to weigh in and say, no, actually, we don't find that that's offensive. For the most part, Wisconsin's 11 tribes say that they are against the idea of using mascots and, logos, Indian mascots and logos. So, where that falls is kind of hard to say.
Their argument is it's bad regardless mm-hmm. of what the community in question thinks about
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
Now, and speaking communities, one is kind of in limbo here, right?
Right. Maquonago was among the school districts that was caught up in the law as it exists now. Someone filed a complaint. The DPI said, change your name and change the logo. And Maquonago has been trying to hang on to it. So right now, it's sort of in limbo. It's waiting to see what happens with this law before deciding to take its next steps.
So Assembly passed it. Senate passed it. If I remember my civics class, it's on the governor's desk now, and?
It's in the inbox, and he has not said whether he will sign it. This is another one of those items he's been saying this week is not really on his radar. He's thinking more about jobs and the economy, but at some point he is going to have to do something with this.
And then maybe the biggest story of the week is something that didn't happen, and this one does have jobs and economic impact to it. The proposed casino in Kenosha.
Right, something that continues not to happen. This is that $800 million casino and entertainment complex that the Menominee want to build in Kenosha. The governor is the person who has to decide whether this project goes ahead or not. So we've been on casino watch for the last couple of weeks. Now, the governor had said he'd have a decision by about 2 weeks ago today. Then last week, he said he was reviewing more information, maybe would have a decision within a few days. And then this morning, he told Chuck Hornbach and other reporters in Milwaukee he didn't expect to have a decision today and maybe didn't even really have a timeline anymore. He says he's going to take what he calls the appropriate amount of time to make the right decision.
Well, people have been trying to read tea leaves on this for a while, trying to glean from the governor's statements which way he's leaning on this. If he still hasn't made a decision, are you getting the sense that he's not necessarily leaning now?
It's really hard to say. Last week, if you looked at, last week he was sending out these daily statements mm-hmm. of, this is what I'm thinking of today. And many of them seem to be leaning toward the idea that he might not approve this, saying that all 11 Wisconsin tribes didn't support the casino, something he said would be important, pointing out that this new casino would draw in, create a lot more gambling revenue than the Dairyland dog racing track that mm-hmm. it replaces. So it was looking like he might be leaning toward no. Now he said, he says he's balancing the need for jobs in the Kenosha area with the possibility that jobs could be lost in other counties if the casino is built. So still really hard to say for sure which way he's leaning.
And then the other tribes, key tribes, say we're still not on board with this.
Exactly. The Potawatomi operates a casino in Milwaukee. The Ho-Chunk have a casino near the Wisconsin Dells. Both of them had said that this new casino in Kenosha would hurt their business, presumably by taking away the customer base from the Chicago area that would come up to, up to Wisconsin. And, you come over the border, there's Kenosha. Why would you drive any further?
I often end these discussions about a particular topic by saying, what do you reckon the timeline is, Michael? But I've got a feeling that my guess is just about as good as yours at this point.
Exactly. The governor says he doesn't really have a timeline. He's going to take what he's calling the appropriate amount of time. I think he has about a year officially to make this decision.
Oh.
But he has said that, you know, he's not necessarily on a specific timeline right now.
And I imagine both sides are trying to convey their message to him however they can.
Exactly.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, have a good weekend.
That was WPR's news director, Michael Leland. And we round up the top state news stories this week, each Friday at this time.